The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Micah.
Hey.
All right, guys, we're back. This episode is entitled The Bottle Deposit. In this episode, this is a two-parter, by the way. In this episode, Newman and Kramer launch a scheme to redeem empty bottles and cans in Michigan for an extra 5 cents each, leading to a chase after a mechanic driving Jerry's stolen car with a set of golf clubs formerly owned by JFK. Meanwhile, George is assigned a big project at work, but doesn't know what it is, and he's too ashamed to ask his supervisor for details. What did you think of this episode?
You know, I watched this today with my wife, and she was like, this is really funny. And, it's a funny episode. It's weird because it kind of starts out like a typical Seinfeld episode, but then by the end, like, it gets incredibly irreverent.
Very weird.
It's just a very odd episode. Since this is a double episode, I don't think we need to go step by step. We could just talk about, like, the major story beats that each of the characters have. But I did enjoy this. I think everyone was on their game. By the end, like, it's like, what? Like, what is going on here? You know what I mean?
It feels like one of those episodes where, and I don't know this, but it feels like the last bit is making reference to, like, a film or something. Like, because they've done that in other, you know, it's like...
Yeah.
It's like the end of the Cadillac episode where they're like walking and, you know, Morty is waving goodbye to everybody. And that's supposed to be, you know, referencing the movie Nixon, right? Like, you know, like it feels kind of weird in that way that they're paying homage to something else. But yeah, it gets really strange by the end.
Yeah, man. Look, George's story about... him and not getting the assignment that he was supposed to do. I 100% can relate to that. I can't relate to following my boss in the bathroom. Like, I wouldn't do that. Like, that's just weird. Like, if I don't have to pee.
No, I'm not doing that. Look, you heard the last episode. I'm not a huge fan of, like, close contact at a urinal. And I didn't mention this, but I hate talking to people in the bathroom. Don't talk to me.
No, it's the worst. It's the worst. Don't talk to me. Don't. Yeah, no.
Now while you're holding
your
jump. We all
know what we got to do. Right. We're all in there to complete a mission. Let's just get through it and get out of there. Right. I don't like talking to people outside of the bathroom. I damn sure don't like talking to them inside the bathroom.
Right. The last thing I'd like to do is talk to you while you're holding your dick. Like,
right. I will go in the stall to make sure that I am not, like, next to somebody, because I don't want any type of conversation to be struck.
I used to be really obnoxious about it. I'm less obnoxious now, but I used to be really obnoxious about it in my youth. Someone would talk to me and I would just I'd hit him with the Brad face, like, okay. Like, but I would never say anything. Interesting. Like, I don't want to talk to you while you're pissing. We can just go outside, man. Dude. Like, finish up, wash your hands, you fucking monster, and then just walk outside of the bathroom, and then we can carry on a conversation. I don't need to talk to you while you're like, bloop. So anyway, like, I don't need to have a conversation with you. Like, I just don't. It's unnecessary. Like, I just don't find that necessary. And it really, really bothers me.
So George is like, George, you know, he doesn't go in there. And then he goes in at the end. Like, well, what the hell is taking this guy so long? And then he goes in at the end. Nah, yo, I don't do that either. He won't have to wait for me to come out.
Right. If George had simply stood outside of the bathroom, all of this could have been avoided.
Yeah.
Is that he came in and the guy thought he was in the whole time. Like, no, disaster. Yeah, so Mr. Wilhelm is, like, giving him the details of this project after scolding him, by the way, for not paying attention to what he says. So that's why George is embarrassed and can't ask Mr. Wilhelm, like, what he meant, because he would think that he wasn't paying attention anymore.
Yeah, sorry. I gotta.
Like, I've just been like, yo, I didn't go into the bathroom. So, I'm gonna have to run that project by me again. Like,
so George's story is, I mean, that's basically the crux of it, right? Like, he's trying to figure out ways to figure out how the what the project is. And he's more of a sideline character in this episode, which, you know, I'm a big George fan. I don't like it when he's a side character, but his story doesn't really impact the overall narrative. He basically tries various different ways to figure out what the project is. One of them, he goes to see this guy in accounting, and the guy in accounting is being a bit of a dick. And George is like, well, you need to call Mr. Wilhelm. And he'll tell you what I'm supposed to do down here.
And then you can tell me. Which is smart. That's smart.
It's very smart. It's very smart. And except this dude is like, yeah, he told me about it, you know, the very important project. And George was like, all right, well, then repeat it back to me, please. And the guy's just like, you don't have to humiliate me like that. I mean, it just, I don't know. It makes me laugh, man.
I got it, okay?
The delivery of that line is amazing.
Yeah, I got it, okay? You don't have to embarrass me, but it's like, damn it. No, I actually need your help. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
George's story kind of concludes with this project being done. He doesn't know how it got done. And it turns out Mr. Wilhelm did it, but Mr. Wilhelm is becoming senile. Right. And he did the project apparently and turned it in. And George is like, all right, hey, project's done. You know, don't have to worry about it.
Does that ever happen to you?
No.
It's happened to me once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was assigned a project and I like totally forgot about it. And they were like, oh, yeah, this was great. You know, like excellent work. And I was just like, okay. Yeah. I once got assigned a project that I was on a team, but I was more like managing the team. And I didn't do any of the actual work. I have a glass, like a heavy glass award on my work desk for my work on that project. It's like it's like 2019 exemplary work or whatever. I was like, okay. I didn't do anything. All I did was like, you do that. And they were like, excellent work. I was like, this is awesome. Can I get another award?
You are you. Congratulations! You have mastered middle management.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I make the things that make the things that make the things happen. Like, yeah. So yeah, no, I definitely had a project done for me, which is wild. It was just like, should I say something? No.
You didn't be like, hey, you know, hey, it's the team. You just took all the credit.
No, I took all the credit. Like, it was, like, not for the one for the award, because everybody on the team got the award. But I also got the award, which was just fucking weird. But, no, the other project that just got done, I don't know who did it. It wasn't assigned to a team. It was just assigned to me, and I just completely forgot about it, and then it was just done. It was something that was already done before. Hey. Nailed it.
Yeah. You and Kramer have something in common. Y'all just fall ass backwards into good fortune.
Look, my laptop bag is just full of Ritz crackers. That's it.
All right. I'm going to try and get us through these next stories because they all kind of intertwine. So
sure.
Elaine is tasked by Mr. Peterman to go to an auction to bid on some golf clubs from John Kennedy.
$10,000, by the way.
Yeah, he's like, I'm willing to pay $10,000 for these golf clubs. Like, all right, fucking rich people.
Yeah,
fucking
rich people. Get out of here. No.
And they're there. Jerry goes with her, and they're there. They go to the auction and they run into Sue Ellen Mishke.
Yeah, they
do. Brawless Wonder. The heiress to the O. Henry candy factory. you know, Elaine and Ellen are rivals, and Ellen is being like a dick. Like, she's being a pompous ass and, yeah. and you know, giving like snide backhanded compliments and shit.
I hope you can find something that is in your price range.
Fucking right. Lady. Just like, oh, here to get a glimpse of high society? Yo, fuck you.
I love how Jerry's just standing there like, you're pretty.
I'm here to get a glimpse.
Yeah, of high society.
So the golf clubs come out, and Elaine is like, huh, I guess I'll bid on these. Like, you shouldn't have done that, Elaine, because now your rival, who's got yeah. money to throw away, she's just like, all right, I'm going to start a bidding war with you because I don't want you to have them, bitch. And Elaine is like, well, I don't want you to have them, bitch. So they have a bidding war. Eventually, Elaine gets it, but she ends up paying $20,000 for these goddamn golf clubs.
No.
Yeah, no. No, get out.
Yeah, I don't think there's maybe there is some level of memorabilia I would pay $20,000 for, like in a fictional world that I had $20,000 to pay.
Movie memorabilia would you pay $20,000? There's a lot of shit out there.
Movie memorabilia that I would pay $20,000 for.
Like, you paying $20,000 for, like, a superhero suit?
No.
Your favorite superhero?
No.
You're not paying,
$20,000 for the suit? I love those movies. I love those movies to death. I don't love them that much. No.
You're not paying $20,000 for a suit that Chadwick Boseman wore as Black Panther?
No. Ew, no. It smells. Like, no. It's hot as fuck in those suits. Like, nah, I mean,
you can flip it. You can flip it. The man is gone.
I'm not trying to make. I got some level of moral care. I'm not trying to just flip money on a dead man. That's fucked up. God damn. Like, who do you think I am, Brad? Jesus Christ.
I think you're the type of person to take credit for something you didn't do.
I mean, that's true. That's true. If somebody was to give me $20,000 after they sold the Chadwick Boseman suit, I would take that money. That I will not lie about. $20,000 for movie memorabilia.
I mean, you love movies, right?
I do.
I'm trying to think of things that you love. Movies right. and politics.
Right. Like, I don't know that there's... I don't know that there's a piece...
for the cum stained dress.
I don't know if I'll pay $20 for it. That's gross. Which one? The one for Trump or the one for Clinton? You pick.
Clinton.
All right. Fair enough. I mean, that Trump one might send us to jail. So you never know.
I mean, the Trump one, they're probably many in circulation. They're not valuable.
Right. Yeah, it's like buying a comic now versus 1960s. Like, come on.
Right.
It's come everywhere. Yeah, I don't know that there's movie memorabilia that I would spend $20,000, but I could bet there is definitely some James Bond memorabilia that you would.
I mean, look, a car. One of the cars would be the only thing that I would spend $20,000 on.
You wouldn't.
And none of those cars cost $20,000.
Hell no, they do not. No, they don't. Even the ones that don't have an engine in them, no, they don't.
Right.
Would you spend... How much would you spend? Because this is a funny bit of Bond memorabilia, right? Not because it's a great movie or anything, but how much would you spend for the jetpack from what? Thunderball?
That's a working jetpack.
Yeah.
That might be it. Because it's a working jetpack.
Right, but that's pretty good Bond memorabilia. Like it's incredibly iconic.
Yeah, it's legendary. Legendary. It lost a little something when James Bond had to make sure his safety helmet was on while in pursuit of someone.
Not as cool.
but that might be it. I can't think. I wouldn't get the cello that Timothy Dalton slid on. Technically a vehicle.
Right. that's not iconic, though. The Thunderbolt.
No, it's not.
The Thunderbolt. You know, jetpack is iconic. I don't know, maybe the suit from Moonraker. one of the space suits from Moonraker.
Like I wouldn't buy Jaws's teeth.
Right. You don't want his Wu-Tang fronts.
Right. I don't need fucking giant dentures. Metal dentures.
I still have, and I will tell you this, only because we are very close friends, because we are best friends. I have this idea of a birthday gift for you that is so fucking good. And I should have bought it when I saw it. I should have bought it when I saw it, but I didn't, but I still can. One day, my friend, it is some James Bond memorabilia that I want to get for you. Like, I saw it in New York and I know exactly where it is, and it's a super dope thing. And I'm going to get it for you. One day. Never know.
Is it, you saw where it was. Now, is it the place that you saw where it was it at the Aston Martin dealership?
It was not. You know what? No, you know what? I'm lying. It was. It was a picture of an Aston Martin. That's what it was. And like a postcard that was $4. Yeah, no, I do have this idea, like, because I keep meaning, like, every year your birthday comes up, I'm like, I have to go and get this thing. And it is a super dope gift. It is a super dope gift for a James Bond fan. It is. Because it is original. It is unique, is what I would say. It is unique. But like not in a bad way, like in a good way. Like it's very cool. All like right. It's something that I would say that most people would not have or have access to, is what I would say.
Well,
and I don't think it would cost me that much, which is also
you committed it. You committed it to on. It's on the record now. So come July.
Now I gotta look back and see how much it costs, because like I might have put my foot directly in my mouth. It's like, yo, this is $900. I'd be like, if I took a picture of it, like you can imagine what it would be like if you had it. Like, that might be enough.
Yeah. Cause, all right, and look, you're gonna have some stiff competition, because my wife is giving me something in July that I'm gonna have to weigh the pros and cons. I'm gonna have to weigh the two things side by side.
All I'm saying is, my gift might be better. Just saying. We'll see. I'm just saying. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Oh shit. Oh man. All right. So Elaine gets that's funny. Elaine gets the golf clubs and says, Jerry, keep these golf clubs in your car. I'm going to, you know, I'll get them from you later. Cause I don't want to lug golf clubs because golf clubs are heavy. Meanwhile, Newman and Kramer are trying to, do a recycling bottle cans scheme, right? So they're going to buy low and sell high with bottle cans, but with bottles and cans, but they need to go from New York to Michigan,
right?
To get the most profit. And throughout the episode, they're trying to figure out how, you know, the logistics of it. And Newman, who is a mail carrier, is like, hey, if we use a mail truck, it's big enough that we can hold a bunch of cans. Mm-hmm. And I can, you know, I can get it there. And you know, that clears our overhead.
Right.
So, at this point in the story, Jerry's car needs to be repaired because he let Kramer and Newman hold it. And they put their groceries in the hood, under the hood, instead of in the trunk.
From the Price Club.
Just fucking and hilarious. He has to go get his car repaired. And the funniest character in this episode appears, Tony, played by Brad Garrett, who is a guy who is obsessed with cars. He's as Jerry says, he's the type of guy that will make you feel bad for not like treating your car like a child.
And yeah, he's that's Raymond's brother from Everybody Loves Raymond.
He's amazing in this episode.
Dude, that guy's hilarious in everything.
Yeah, man. He's awesome. Just like the voice, the delivery of someone who is just like, he's got great comedic timing. He's the best in this episode.
Yeah.
He takes it to the Tony, and Tony's giving him the business on like little shit. Like, oh, would you the shift knob's a little scraped up. What'd you do to it?
You know, and he's just like, I don't know. It's just normal wear and tear.
Wear and tear.
He's freaking out.
That shit had me rolling, dude.
It's fucking hysterical, man. So the episode goes on. The car is in the shop. Elaine is like, hey, I need those clubs. Get them to me now, all right?
That's right.
And he says, hey, the cars, my car's at the shop. The clubs are in there. Why don't you meet me down at the dealership or the mechanic shop or whatever? We'll go get them. Jerry gets there first, talks to Tony. Tony's like, look, I need to overhaul your entire engine.
Yeah.
But it's going to take some commitment from you, right? You're going to need to stay under 60 miles an hour for a while. All these ridiculous, like things that no one is going to, you know, do. And he's like, well, how much is this going to cost me? You know, a very reasonable question. And he's like, oh, it's always the money with you. You can't put a price on a loved one, right?
And it's like, it's a car.
Right. It's just a car, dude. And Jerry's like, you know what? Just, I want my car back. Just give me my car.
And yeah, that bullshit.
Yeah, you know, he's just like, no, why? No, no. He's like, no, just give me my car. All right, well, it's on the lift. I'll get it. Lane comes. She's like, hey, where's the car? It's like, the guy's coming to get it. All of a sudden, you hear the sob peel out, which, by the way, sobs ain't cheap.
Like, no, yo, sobs are mad expensive, dude.
Like, how the fuck does this stand-up comedian who lives in a dinky apartment in New York, how can he afford a sob, dude?
I don't even know how much a sob is right now, but I know that sobs used to be mad expensive, dude. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you go to sobs website, yo, they have a section air, land, naval. Like, they don't even, like, cars aren't even the first thing you see when you go to the sob website. They're like, you want to buy a plane? Like, come on,
right,
man.
Because they're an aero, they're into, like, aerospace engineering, you know? Like, they're not,
like ground
just
combat?
A car dealership.
Like, yeah, yo, I'm trying to just find how to buy a car, like, products, and they're just like, nah, like, no, let's go blow up Afghanistan. Like, all right, Saab, relax.
I don't think Saab makes cars. I think they got rid of their automotive division because they kept pricing themselves out of the goddamn market with their incredibly expensive cars. This is how expensive a Saab is. My cousin, who is a federal judge, rode around in a Saab, and that was his like bullshit car. So, yeah. They were really, really expensive back then.
Nah, yo. Like, yo, that's crazy. No, no. Mm-mm.
So Tony carnaps the car. And they call the cops. Cops, detective comes in. He's asking him a bunch of questions. I love how they play the car being a person.
Yeah.
At one point, the detective is like, I need you to come down to, you know, this location to basically identify the body. And they're
at so much anger. They're,
like, some car has been stripped and you could see the oil, you know, splatter in certain locations. Yeah. And they're like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. Right. And they realize, oh, wait, this isn't my car. Like, hey, this isn't my car.
Yeah, because it has a turbo, like, or something like that.
Yeah, but then the woman whose car it is there, and she starts sobbing. It's just like, I'm sorry for your loss. I've never been a car person like that, right? Like,
no.
I just want a car to get me from A to Z. You know, I don't.
Yeah, I've never been a crazy car person. I don't know. Like, it's always been a utility for me. I've never like kept like a crazy pristine clean car until now. I'm like,
well, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, no, yo, don't. I hate, yo, I hate when my car's not like
how
I'm,
long do you think?
I'm so.
How long have you had that?
I've had my car for next summer, I think, or this coming summer will be a year.
Okay. Now, how long you think you'll still have this mentality?
2 years. I can't keep it up.
We all go through it.
Right. I can't keep it up, right? Like, I can't keep it up. I have a daughter. Like, she eats Goldfish crackers and shit like that. Like, that shit goes everywhere. But I am, like, I am pretty, like, consistent about, like, getting my car cleaned and things like that. Like, I'm getting it cleaned this weekend. Yeah, I don't know, but I'm not a fan of, like, you're not just going to throw shit in my car. Like, that shit is maddening.
Especially because your car has a very minimalist look to it.
Right. You know, so the more junk just feels like junk.
You're just going to see it. Yeah.
Right,
you're
right. You can't hide it behind a bunch of bullshit. That. Like, no.
Right.
This is a fucking screen. There's nothing there. Like, what the fuck? There's nothing there. Yeah, I can't wait for my daughter to get older so that I can get rid of her her car seat so I can stop having that lame-ass car seat in my nice car. Not because I don't want people to know I have a kid, like, not on some scumbag shit. I just think it ruins the aesthetic of my car.
Like, yeah, you're like, wow, look at this. And then it's just like, oh, it's a mom car.
Yeah, like, yeah, it is. It is a fucking mom car. So, but yeah, but I've never before that's been like, like, I've never cared, even in this car. Like, I'm not, like engines and fucking revving shit. Like, I just never gave a shit about that. I had, like, a rabbit for years, right? Like, who am I to be like, oh, I'm, a big-time car guy? I've just never been that guy. I don't know shit about cars. Like, I just don't. So.
Yeah, I can't change my own oil. No, I pay professionals to do that. Get out of here.
My car doesn't have oil, so which is great. Actually, having an EV is nice because it means I don't have to know as much, and there's not much more to know. So I don't have to feel, hey, bro, you ever done this? No. Can you do that? You actually can't. So, yeah, dude, I know all of the things I need to know. Like, you plug it in. Just drive. That's it. It's great. I can be as ignorant as I want to be. It's awesome.
So... Kramer and Newman are on their way to Michigan in the mail truck. And, all of a sudden they see Jerry's car and they're like, and Kramer's like, all right, buddy, after arguing with Newman, he's like, all right, buddy, we're going to follow this guy. Cause they're like, yo, you got to get my car back, dude, please. So he's like, all right, we're going to follow him. Right. And eventually they start lagging. So Kramer ditches all the bottles and cans, and they're still lagging. So Kramer ditches Newman.
I kicked him in the ass.
Newman ends up going, you know, finding some farmer who lives there. The farmer is Ron Howard's dad. And
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
And the farmer's like, hey, you can do anything you want, man. We got everything you need. Just don't touch my daughter. Right. And his daughter's like, you know, 90s slutty attractive, to me.
Yeah. She got like the farmer's girl thing going on.
Yeah. I don't really care for that, too much.
It's not my thing.
No, no, no. You seem, it looks like you smell.
Well, it's because she's milking cows all day.
Yeah, yeah. And he goes there. Apparently, he does touch his daughter. And he starts, later on, he runs away. And the woman's like, goodbye, Norman, goodbye. Bye, very Norman. Funny, right? That actress did not know the character's name.
Oh, so she said so that by mistake?
She said that by mistake, and everybody was just like, this shit is hilarious. So we're just going to keep it in. Yeah.
That's funny.
And Wayne Knight credits this scene as the thing that you know, drove him to become healthier. Because, you know, they did several takes of that, and they run through the cornfield, and he started experiencing heart palpitations from running. So he went to a doctor, and the doctor said, you know, your blood pressure is incredibly high, and you're about to get diabetes. So you need to make a change. So he was like, all right, well, fuck that.
Yeah, he's a lot thinner now. I mean, he's not like crazy thin, but he's significantly thinner now.
Yeah, he don't look like people thought that dude was dead.
Yeah, for a while. That's right.
He lost so much weight.
Yeah, I remember that.
But yeah, look at Seinfeld, saving lives. Meanwhile, Kramer was in pursuit. Tony realizes it. Tony starts throwing the golf clubs at Kramer.
That's not okay. And, this is not okay.
And he eventually loses them. Kramer, at Elaine's behest, goes and picks up the golf clubs and I can't remember what happens after the fact. Eventually he gets them back to Elaine, and Elaine is like, hey, here's your golf clubs that you paid $20,000 for. And they're all beat up, and they're wrecked. And Peterman is like, wow, I never knew Kennedy had such a temper. And she was like, that's it.
Yeah, sure. It's like the only thing that matched his temper was his slice. And it's like the golf club is just like bent to shit. Yeah, that's the only way you could play that, because she's not trying to pay $20,000 to replace those. Or not replace them, but they're irreplaceable. So, look, golf is fine. I don't love golf enough to pay $10,000 or let alone $20,000 for anybody's golf clubs. No.
Golf is super fun. I like it. I don't like it enough to pay for golf clubs, period.
I have golf clubs, but they were given to me as a gift.
Yeah. I don't know how much they cost, but my wife was going to get them for me, because at my previous job, like the guys there all wanted to – they went golfing every like 2 to 3 weeks.
Ugh.
And they invited me, and I went once.
I remember this.
And it was fun, but like it's a lot of work. And it was a lot of walking. So
it is. It is. No. And golf is a maddening game. Like it is. You understand why people snap their club after a while. You're like, fuck this game, dude. Like, no, it's hard. Like it's a really hard game to master, which is why the people who are really good are paid insane amounts of money. But yeah, I like golf. I feel like I like Top Golf more than I like golf. Like, I feel to drive. Like, I'd like to go to the driving range, which there's a driving range near my house, which I should utilize more. That's fun. Like, that's a lot of fun. Like, I feel like that would be kind of a cool thing to do just, like, on a semi-regular basis. Like, just go to the driving range and just knock some around.
Every time me and my wife go to Top Golf, she always wins. I'm that bad at literally every sport.
You can't do a layup. Your dad was right. I've never been to Top Golf. I mean, I've been to a driving range, but like I feel like I would enjoy Top Golf quite a bit. Like that was a thing I wanted to do.
Super fun.
That's what I wanted to do for my birthday, but the last time it was my birthday, the pandemic was still going on. Like I said that and I was like, when this gets done, we're all going to go to Top Golf, but it's not done. It's like, please stop.
Yeah. You would really like Top Golf.
Yeah, I feel like I would.
I've gone since the band, you know.
Because you're outside, so it's probably fine.
You're outside, you're masked up, everybody's got their own like compartment. Yeah. You're fine.
Yeah.
But it's super fun. You would really, really like it.
Yeah, I feel like I would.
But you're
drinking, eating overly priced food, overly priced drinks, and cutting up in it's a driving range, right? And it's like a multi-tier driving
range. It's a multi-tier driving range. They got music playing.
You're trying to hit it for points and shit, right? Like into the thing.
Yeah, they have targets. They have different targets out there, and if you land, and each target has different like sections of the target, like a bullseye, like a dartboard, and you know, you hit it, you hit the ball, and you know, they're all registered, so you get it's very good, it's very good, it's very fun.
Oh, so it's like bowling almost in that regard.
Yeah, it's like bowling.
Oh, see, that
it's
would
like
be
bowling and it's like bowling and darts.
Is
almost a triple crown of lazy. so there's a great Tom Segura joke about that.
What is the like? What is the cost for Topgolf? I feel like it'd be expensive.
No, it's not expensive. If it was expensive, I wouldn't be going as much as I do.
All right, that's fair. They're building a Topgolf in Baltimore. Like it's being built right now.
Like, that would be wonderful because I have to go up 270 to go to my local Topgolf.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Nah, and I don't want to keep doing that.
Nah. Yeah, Topgolf Baltimore. Like, I'm pretty sure it's not done. Not yet, I don't think. Yeah, I don't think it's done yet. But yeah, they're building it downtown on Warner Street.
I'm dying to know where that Topgolf is in Baltimore.
Warner Street? Yeah, not too far from M&T Bank Stadium. That's right.
They're doing it downtown?
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense, but
they're doing it right near there's a Gordon Ramsay Steakhouse apparently down there.
That's the casino.
Oh, is that inside the casino? Yeah, so it's like right. Yeah. It's pretty close to that place.
Okay.
Yeah, you can.
I'll continue to go to Germantown.
Oh damn! See, look at that. See, am I gonna want to play golf with a bunch of niggas from Baltimore? I get it.
That's it. I don't want to get hit with a golf club.
Oh no, they fighting down there. They ain't gonna be fighting down there. Like you know what? I'm going to Germantown. I'm coming out to where you are. Get the fuck out of here. No. I remember the first day they opened the casino in Baltimore, niggas was in there fighting. That's absolutely true.
Fighting Baltimore, the pizza line.
Yo,
like, all right,
yo. Baltimore is like, I love this city, but we're a bunch of wild niggas down here. How do you fight the first day? The first day it opened? Like, come on, man. God damn. You couldn't like wait till the second weekend? Niggas ain't used to nothing. All right, that is it for us for the bottle deposit. We will see you guys next week for another episode of Airing of Grievances.
See ya.
Bye.
Really?